The prophet Isaiah tells us that the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Keeping that in mind, let us hear again what Isaiah has to say in this, the servant song. This describes Jesus and his mission. And as disciples of Jesus, this should also describe us. Listen carefully for what it says about you. Reading from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is from the Acts of the Apostles. This is Peter meeting with Cornelius and his family. And you may remember that Peter, in a vision, saw that the word of the Lord was not just for the Jews, but for all people. And at that time, he was called to Cornelius's home to pass the word of the Lord along to Cornelius and his family. This is a very brief passage, and I think it would serve as a good model for us to use as we prepare our elevator speech to share with those with whom we come in contact. So listen for how this might be used by you in your elevator speech. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our third lesson, our gospel lesson this morning, comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, and this is talking about Jesus' baptism. And already the writer has told us about John the Baptist, gave us a little fill-in information about John the Baptist and what he was doing with this message of repentance and baptism for repentance and the coming of the kingdom of God. So we pick up at chapter 3, pick up at verse 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Time sure does fly in the church calendar. 2.5 weeks ago, in the church calendar, we celebrated Christmas, the birth of Jesus. Last week, we celebrated the coming of the Magi, the wise men who brought gifts and gave them to probably the toddler, Jesus. And then in our text today, we skip ahead 30 years to when Jesus starts his public ministry. And we don't have many stories that tell us about the raising up of Jesus. We have one from Luke. Luke tells us that when Jesus was 12 years old, his parents and his family went to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. And when they packed up to go back home, Jesus stayed behind, unbeknownst to his parents. And I imagine they were traveling with a group, and each parent thought the other parent had him, and neither of them did. And I imagine that night when they stopped for dinner, it's like, "Where's Jesus? I thought he was with you." "No, I thought he was with you." And they didn't know where he was. And so the parents had to travel back to Jerusalem, and they found him in the temple. And when they were, "What are you doing here?" You know, when they asked him, he said, "Don't you know I have to be about my Father's business?" So even at the age of 12, he knew that he had a special calling. But now we skip ahead to when Jesus begins his public ministry. And there's John with his baptism of repentance. "You need to turn around and prepare yourselves for the coming of the kingdom, for the Messiah is on his way. He's here." And the people are asking, "Well, is it you? Is it you?" And he says, "No, it's not me. It's one who comes after me." And then we pick it up with today's reading, where Jesus comes and asks John to baptize him. And John's hesitant to do it. He says, "You should be baptizing me. Why should I be baptizing you?" And he's asking a good question, because we know that Jesus has come to save us from our sins. We believe that Jesus never sinned. So why is he having this baptism of repentance? I believe the answer is that he has come to identify with us. I love the first chapter of the Gospel of John, where it begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," and then skips down a little bit and says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That Jesus is the incarnation of God here on earth, and in this baptism, he is identifying himself with us. And we know that through our baptism, through his death and resurrection, we now are identified with him. When Jesus came out of the water, we're told that the heavens opened up and a dove descended, the Holy Spirit descended. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." That beloved, what a wonderful word. It means he's cherished, he's treasured by God. And when we identify ourselves with Christ, That same message is given to us. You are beloved. You are treasured. You are cherished. But that's not always the voice we hear. Too often we listen to the voice that says, you're no good. You're a failure. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking enough. You're a loser. And we listen to those voices and we're afraid that others are going to see that that is indeed what we are. But when we are baptized into Christ, we are beloved. We are cherished. We are treasured because God has identified us with Christ, who Christ was all these things. And in Christ, we are too. I want to do something different today. If our ushers will go ahead and come up. I'm going to pass out some yarn. And the yarn represents our baptism. So I want everybody to take a piece of it. And what I want you to do is you can't give it to the person sitting next to you. You pass it behind you or in front of you or across the aisle. I'll give them to you. Just stay down there. I'll give it to you. Don't get ahead of me. What I want is a spider web all across our sanctuary. So pass it around. You may get it more than once, but just make sure you're able to grab a hold of it. Don't pull it too tight so there is some slack in there. We don't want to break it or anything. And we're just going to pass it around. Let me go ahead and get this started. No, not that. I got that. The little one. The little one. The choir doesn't need to rock. Yep. Let me get out from the, let me give this one to her. They're two different colors. But they are kind of watercolor. Don't leave some slack. Give me slack. I got something up here. So, up. All right. Okay, yo, go ahead. Give a little bit more slack. All right, go ahead and pass it out. I got it. Pass it back and forth, cross the aisle. Nobody sitting next to you should hold it right next to you. Give me a little slack there, Don. There we go. All right, and then back in the back corner. Start there, Janet, and in the back corner. All right. Okay. Let me make sure I got enough slack here. Okay, you can go. While this is being done, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story of what I hope we're trying to show. This may be a huge failure. I don't know. Let me get a little... Sorry, Nancy. Pulled it right out of her hands. I'm just making sure I got a little slack here. I said, "One, pass it. Don't give it to the person next to you. Pass it to different... aisles, rows, well, nobody's passed it back and forth. Pass it back and forth between the aisles. We got to get a... All right. We got Hubert being choked back here. Let me tell you a story. You know my friend Brian Bakke. He was here. You may recall him being here last year. And he... Okay, we don't need discussions while... I still want to do the sermon. Like I said, I didn't know how this was going to work. You might recall my friend Brian. He was here last year, and he told us stories of things that he's doing in Washington, D.C., and things that are happening through his work in the with the Mustard Seed Foundation in South America, Central America, and North America. And anyway... some of you might recall a few years ago, his father was here, Ray Bakke, and he preached here. And Ray, I consider my mentor. He's the one who has shaped and molded my spiritual life, my spiritual theology and beliefs more than anybody else. And Ray tells this story about Brian, his son Brian, but it's not the Brian you know. This Ray was an inner city pastor in Chicago, and he sent his children to the public schools, his two sons, Woody and Brian. And Woody's best friend was another kid named Brian. And he would invite Brian over for dinner more times, more nights than not. And Brian seemed to be staying there a lot. And it took about a month or two for Ray and his wife to realize that this Brian was homeless. Here is a middle school kid, homeless, living on the streets of Chicago. So Ray and his wife, they adopted Brian. And now you're catching on, I'm sure, because now in the family there are two Brians. Now, they're easy to tell apart. You've seen the one Brian. He's about 6'5", blonde hair, very white skin, of Norwegian descent. And now his brother Brian is not quite so tall, very dark skin, black hair, of African descent. So it's easy to tell them apart. I'm not sure exactly how they did it with the name stuff, but they were there. A month or two after Brian was adopted into the family, he came to his father and said, "Dad, you are my dad. You're the only dad that I know. And I get it now. I get what's going on. I've been wanting a dad for my whole life. I've been looking for a dad since I was 9 years old, and I would go on the streets of Chicago and I would look at the pimps and I would wonder, is that my dad? But now I know that you are my dad. You sent your son Woody to the public school, and he and I became best friends. And he invited me over to the house for food. And then you adopted me into the family. And now I am your son. And I get it. That's what God did. God sent Jesus into the world so that we might be adopted into the family." He gets it. Brian got it. That's exactly what happened. And with the... let's see if I got enough slack here. Our baptism symbolizes that we are adopted into the family. Our baptism tells us that we are beloved, cherished, and treasured by God. And our yarn today represents that baptism. And they're all that spread out there is connected to this rock, Christ, the solid rock. And it's in his baptism that we are joined together. And you notice that we're all holding a piece of the yarn. It's not any individual having it just to themselves. But we're in this together. Too often we make our Christianity individualistic. It's me and Jesus and that's it. But that's never been the case. Christianity has always been about community. Us together. We're there for the good times. But we're there for the hard and the difficult times. We're there to support people in the midst of their sorrow and their hardships, as well as there when the celebrations and the joys are there. We're there together, not just for each other either, because Christianity has always been about going out into the world, going out and sharing the good news of Christ, but also going out and working for the causes of justice, lifting up oppression, lifting and trying to do away with oppression, lifting up those who are oppressed, being with those that are lost and forgotten. It's about our service to the world. And together, we are the church, and together we are greater than we are as individuals. And what ties us together is Jesus Christ, and we are tied together through our baptism. I've done this the last couple of years. I like this. We're going to renew our baptismal vows, but before we do that, you'll have to excuse me. I want everybody to hold your yarn up. Hold it up. I want a picture. If I can get the camera on. All right. Oh, come on. All right. Smile. All right. Oh, we got Kim here. I'm not holding on. I'm about to. Don't worry. You know, in the past several years, we've done what I've called renewing our vows on the baptism of the Lord, where we remember the vows that we either made as Christians when we were baptized or someone made on our behalf when we were young, too young to do it for ourselves. And so when we do this renewal, for those who are too young to remember, this is your opportunity to renew that vow. And even if you do remember your baptism, this is an opportunity to renew your commitment to the vows that you made at baptism. So I'm going to read those and give you a moment to think about it. And then I'm going to... All right, here we go. And so when I put the rock in the water, I would invite you to raise the yarn up. The first vow is that we profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that we are submitting and surrendering our lives to Jesus. So take just a few seconds to renew that vow. You have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The second vow, you can put it down for a second. Don't want your arms to get too tired. We renounce evil and affirm our reliance on God's grace. We don't have to do it alone. We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit that has come upon us. So renew that vow. You have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know that I like holding this up. The third one. We declare our intention to participate actively and responsibly in the worship and mission of the church. In other words, we're not just bystanders doing nothing. We are called to active worship and ministry. Renew that vow. You are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then finally, we declare our intention to provide Christian nurture to our children and to others in the church. In other words, we are to be making new disciples and encouraging and building one another up in the faith. We are not in this alone. So may you renew that aspect of your baptism. You have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As baptized believers in Jesus Christ, we must always, always commit ourselves to living together in the midst of our hurt, even in the midst of our disagreements, in the midst of our pain, but also in the midst of our joys and in the midst of our hopes that we have. God expects us through our baptism as Christians to live out the power and the grace and the hope of our baptism every single day. And if we do this, not only will we be different, but the world that we live in and the people that we interact with will also be different. Today, as we renew our baptismal vows, we are committing ourselves to loving one another as the body of Christ and serving Christ in the world today. All right, instructions now. Whoever has the end of the yarn, you can start winding it up and handing it to whoever it leads to next, and it will continue back and forth. And for those of you who threw it, now it's going to come back to haunt you. But we will be rewinding it as we sing our next hymn, and we'll see where we're at that point. If we don't have the aisles clear, our ushers will take up the offering from the outside aisles. So anyway, you in Christ are beloved. So let us live as beloved children of God. Amen.